Come be a part of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics with your host, Dr. Ed Holliday. Hear the voices of liberty speaking all across America. Doc Holliday provides thought-provoking interviews and commentary about the issues and actions that are afflicting this country and what we need to do to get America back on track. Get fired up. Get inspired. Get on board with Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right now.
That's the sound of rock cracking, and you've got Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics right here on WebTalkRadio.net. I'm your host, Ed Holliday. What difference does it make? Hey, what difference does it make? What a show we got for you. Listen, this week is so important to listen to this show. We've had great shows in the last couple of weeks, last 3 or 4 weeks. Go back and listen to them. We got great hope for the future of people like Benji Backer. If you didn't hear the show a couple of weeks ago, go back and listen to that. Last week's show with Murray Holland talking about the debt trap, and we're going to get to the end of his interview this week, so make sure you listen to this whole show. We're going to be talking to Murray Holland and finding what can you do? What can you do? What's the solution that you can do? And we're going to ask Murray Holland that question. But we got to talk about the inauguration. We got to talk about the Benghazi hearings. And what does it matter? What difference does it make? That's the famous words, or infamous words, of the outgoing Secretary of State, waiting all these months to hear her testify. And what have we learned? Well, we're going to get to that. What a show we got packed in for you. Let's get started. Well, we got to get in the mood for some, I guess, some of y'all remember the 60s may have heard this song. We're going to listen to it, and then we have got to cover some ground. So hang on to your hat right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. It's a crazy world we live in, folks. It's just a crazy world what's going on, starting with the inauguration, the second inauguration of Barack Obama. And it came with a speech that is so bland. Did it have any salt or pepper? And some people, I think Reverend Al Sharpton compared it to Martin Luther King Jr.'s I Have a Dream speech. Well, if this was Barack Obama's dream, and he is dreaming. It was a progressive feast, a progressive feast of what he says has to be done. I'm telling you, it's nothing like a John Kennedy's question, not ask not what your country can do for you, but what you can do for your country. Did you hear anything like that? No, not at all. So let me cover all the important points in right now about the inauguration speech. Everything you need to know. Everything you'll need to know for the future to tell your children and grandchildren. Here's all the important things Barack Obama said at the second inauguration. Okay, that's it. Now I've covered them all. Now let's get into something that is real important to our lives, unlike the inauguration speech by President Barack Obama. We got 4 years of this, so we have got to find out what is going on in America. And one thing is, we have got a press that is so impotent, folks. They don't ask any questions. We've had no questions, serious questions, on Benghazi. I thought it was the campaign. Let the president get reelected, and then the press, surely some of the press would really sharpen up their knives and say, let's find out what really happened on Benghazi. No, it's a love feast, folks. And nobody's asking a question, so you think, finally, we'll get congressional hearings. We're going to get the Secretary of State. She took full responsibility for the failures of Benghazi. We're going to get the Secretary of State up on the under oath, and we're going to get some real answers after all this time. Even though Barack Obama got reelected, finally, we'll get some answers on Benghazi. That's what we were all thinking last week. And what do we get? Let's see. Most of it what we got was a love fest. What I mean, listen to all these senators and what they had to say to outgoing Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. This is basically what most of the hearing was. We finally got some people with some guts, but majority of the hearing went just like this.
Well, thank you for coming. I know you've had some health issues still undergoing, and yet you're here. And I think we all do respect the tremendous amount of hard work that you put forth over the last 4 years.
Thank you for your service, and thank you for the kindness you've shown this committee.
We're glad to see you here and wish you all the best.
I'd like to join my colleagues in thanking you for your service sincerely, and also appreciate the fact that you're here testifying and glad that you're looking in good health.
Thank you for your testimony, and also thank you, as others have said, for your service. Traveling over 1,000,000 miles and more than 100 countries.
As a doctor, I will tell you, I have seen you work yourself to exhaustion, not for your own benefit, but for the benefit of the people of this country, and the country is grateful for that.
Thank you, Madam Secretary. We thank you for your outstanding and dedicated service to this nation, and we are proud of you.
So you can see, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton did not get the grilling that she really needs. She got some grilling. Finally, some Republicans stepped up to the plate. Even then, we did not get the answers that we needed. And I'm still, what did we learn? What difference does it make? That was Hillary Clinton's famous line, or infamous line, coming from that. We're going to play it here in just a minute. But I want to tell you, you listen to the end of the show. We're going to talk more about Benghazi, where we were, where we are now, how much we've learned, and we're going to find out more from Secretary Hillary Clinton. But at the end of the show, I am going to do this week's Tombstone of the Week Award, and you'll need to listen. It's going to go about Benghazi. Find out who gets this week's Tombstone of the Week Award right here on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. I know we have new listeners, and what we do is give out Doc Holliday's Tombstone of the Week Award to somebody whose words, deeds, or actions should be buried 6 feet beneath the ground under a tombstone. So find out who this week's recipient of the Tombstone of the Week Award is coming up at the end of the show. In the meantime, let's get back into Benghazi. For those who have not been keeping up with it, back on September 11th, 2012, our embassy in Libya was attacked by terrorists. For more than 2 weeks, we were never told it was terrorists. At first, we said that we were told by the White House and the State Department that this came from a film that was made on a YouTube video. And when later we find out it had nothing to do with that. What happened for 2 weeks? What happened? What happened? We're still trying to find out the answers. We've talked on this show before, and we decided we'd have to wait till we had congressional hearings. What have we learned? What has the Secretary of State finally told us? Well, I didn't learn much. We learned a few things. We learned there's still 4 Americans died, and there's 1 American that's still in Walter Reed Hospital. So a survivor is still alive and still in the hospital. That's one of the few things we learned that we didn't know. We did learn some things from Senator Rand Paul. Senator Rand Paul, the son of Ron Paul, he gave some tough questions. We're going to listen to that in just a minute. And he gave his solution, what he would have done if he was the commander-in-chief, if he was the president of the United States. So I'm going to play that clip for you. I tell you what, let's just do it right now, because after all those lovey-dovey you heard a while ago, we had some senators that would stand up and ask the questions and demand some answers. They didn't get what we needed, but at least they had the guts to stand up. This could be the makings of some presidential timber from Rand Paul, Senator Rand Paul from Kentucky.
One of the things that disappointed me most about the original 9/11 was no one was fired. We spent trillions of dollars, but there were a lot of human errors. These are judgment errors, and the people who make judgment errors need to be replaced, fired, and no longer in a position of making these judgment calls. So we have a review board. The review board finds 64 different things that we can change. A lot of them are common sense and should be done, but the question is, it's a failure of leadership that they weren't done in advance, and 4 lives were cost because of this. I'm glad that you're accepting responsibility. I think that ultimately with your leaving, you accept the culpability for the worst tragedy since 9/11. And I really mean that. Had I been president at the time, and I found that you did not read the cables from Benghazi, you did not read the cables from Ambassador Stevens, I would have relieved you of your post. I think it's inexcusable.
Now that was Senator Rand Paul that was telling it like it is. It had the guts to stand up there in front of America and tell Hillary Clinton, the Secretary of State, that she failed in leadership. This was who many wanted to be President of the United States. Some people think she'll run in 2016. And here's Senator Rand Paul, who may be presidential timbers himself, that may decide to get in the race. We don't know. But he had the guts to tell former Senator Hillary Clinton, now Secretary of State, that he would have relieved her from her duties. And that's the kind of leadership we need to see. Something in these Benghazi hearings where they said there were four people reprimanded, removed from their positions, but they weren't fired. They're not fired. They're still working for the State Department. Then they find out today, well, they're on paid leave. And what is that? You get paid for sitting around doing nothing at the State Department. Sounds like a more government job that we're getting all over Washington now. But let me tell you. Senator Johnson from Wisconsin, had a statement that got under the skin of Hillary Clinton. And this is, well, let's just hear her response right here, and then I'll have something to say about that.
What they were doing.
No. We were misled that there were supposedly protests, and then something sprang out of that, an assault sprang out of that. And that was easily ascertained that was not the fact.
But the American
people could have known that within days, and they didn't know that.
With all due respect, the fact is we had four dead Americans. Was it because of a protest, or was it because of guys out for a walk one night who decided they'd go kill some Americans? What difference at this point does it make? It is our job to figure out what happened and do everything we can to prevent it from ever happening again, Senator.
When Secretary of State Hillary Clinton said, what difference does it make? What difference does it make? What difference does it make that we've been lied to? We've been cheated. We don't know the truth. And finally, we get the Secretary of State, Hillary Clinton, under oath before the House and before the Senate. And all we got is all this love going on from the Democratic side. Nobody cares about the four dead Americans. Nobody wants to ask the question, did these four Americans die for America, or did they die for the team to re-elect Barack Obama? Nobody had the guts to ask the questions. Somebody needs to know what's going on. The American people need to know what's going on. And that's why it's like we have been cheated. We've been denied the truth. And this is why I put together this little piece of truth. The American people have been lied to. We've been cheated. And this is exactly what I feel like. I feel like when Hillary Clinton testified on the Hill right there last week.
I've been cheated.
What difference at this point does it make?
Been mistreated.
What difference at this point does it make?
And will not be loved.
What difference at this point does it make? What difference at this point does it make?
Tell me, when will I be?
What difference at this point does it make?
What difference does it make? Oh, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, what difference does it make to be lied to not be told the truth, to sit up there under testimony to House and Senate when America wants to know what is the truth? What did you do in real time the night of the attack when for hours they begged for help? Where was the American military? Who denied the orders to go help save them? Where was the cavalry? Who closed down the doors to salvation and freedom and life for these four Americans. That's what we have not got the answers to. And so what I have to tell you, Congressman Ed Royce from California. Now, he's the chairman of the House Foreign Affairs Committee, and he discussed with Brett Baer on the Fox News about Secretary of State Hillary's testimony, and that was before his committee. And we're going to listen just a little bit of what he had to say. But he said that they would get Secretary of State back, Clinton, even after she leaves office. If they need more answers, he promised he would get her back and they would do written questions. So I hope this investigation is not through, because we did not get the answers we need. And I'm going to tell you, I'm going to play that in just a minute, what Congressman Ed Roy said and what he told Brett Baer. Before I do, let me remind you, you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You're listening to us right here on webtalkradio.net. We're glad to have you. And I want you to go to www.rocksplittingpolitics.com. Got my book out by the same name, and it tells you what we've got to do. We have got to get a grasp on this nation, and we are quickly losing everything. Everything from a president who gave a second inauguration speech that has no memorable points, unless you just slap happy like the mainstream media is. Whatever he says, they're going to praise and bow down and worship, it sounds like. So Americans who are loving and caring about the future, our children and grandchildren, we've got some work to do. We got to roll up our sleeves. It didn't work. Didn't get him out during the election. So we got President Obama for 4 years. And as our nation descends into further economic chaos and Obamacare, we got to keep our wits together. We got to work with others. We got to build coalitions. This radio show is about finding solutions, exposing truth. We're going to shine a light into the darkness, and that's why this Benghazi hearing is so important to me, to see the truth and know what really happened. Let's find out. Play that. We'll hear a bit of what the future plans are. So I'll play that in a minute. But right after that, I told you last week, we spoke with Murray Holland. He's got a book out coming out real soon called The Debt Trap. And wow, we are caught in a trap. And you go back, you didn't listen to last week's show, get back there and listen to Murray Holland. Really told us some scenarios that are very frightening, and we're going to talk to him in just a few minutes and find out what he says we need to do to help prepare for the oncoming economic disaster that will come if we keep spending money like crazy. Explain in detail why last week. So make sure you listen to that show. Make sure you go check out rocksplittingpolitics.com. And order some books. That's what helps keep us on the air right here. And we got some great shows coming up in the future. You don't want to miss our upcoming shows. We're going to touch base on all the things that are important for you to know. And like hearing that clip from, how we've been cheated, and hearing Secretary of State Clinton say, what difference does it make? Well, it makes a well of a difference. And that's why you're listening to Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. That's why we're seeking the truth and finding out what it takes to get this great country turned around to prosperity and peace. And that's what Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics is about. We're going to split the rock and find out where the water is going to come and turn this dry desert of lies and deceit into a flourishing garden of beautiful flowers and prosperity, where there's food and there's abundance and there is capitalism that flows down to everyone in a prosperous America. All right, let's finish up this show strong. And we have Congressman Ed Royce right here answering a question from Brett Baer on the Fox News 4.
Mr. President, this morning you went out of your way to avoid the use of the word terrorism in connection with the Libya attack.
Right.
Do you believe that this was a terrorist attack?
Well, it's too early to know exactly how this came about, what group was involved, but obviously it was an attack on Americans. And we are going to be working with the Libyan government to make sure that we bring these folks to justice one way or the other.
Quickly, a lot has been made about this, and Democrats say it's all about semantics. What do you say?
Well, I say that the administration did not want to be charged with losing four American brave Americans at the hands of an al-Qaeda attack. And I think they bent over backwards for 2 weeks during the campaign in order to try to deny it. And I think that part of that denial was this very video that they put up front and center as the excuse rather than an admission that al-Qaeda was operating in that area, that al-Qaeda was carrying out attacks, that al-Qaeda had attacked our allies, such as the British ambassador, attempted to kill him, and was trying to kill our own personnel. And so that was, in fact, I think, maybe subliminally, the motivation. But certainly, when it goes for 2 weeks in the face of all the evidence reported internationally in the press, it eventually was a position they couldn't sustain. But you still see them trying to rationalize this.
All right, Mr. Chairman, and just to be clear, if you don't get the answers, you're going to subpoena Secretary Clinton again.
That is correct. That is correct. We want the answers.
Well, Congressman Royce, we want the answers too right here at Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. This is something you cannot let go away. America needs the truth. This is worse than Watergate. We have four dead Americans. Why did they die? Why did they die? And we need some answers. Where are the reporters that were around like Woodward and Bernstein? Watergate is a break-in, but nobody died. Find out why these brave Americans died in Benghazi. That's what we need to hear. And we're going to keep digging until we get answers right here at Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You let us know what you know. And send us email, radio at teaparty.ms. You send that to us and we'll get your answers and put some on the air if you got some good answers and sources. Now, shift gears. Last week we talked to Murray Holland about the debt trap. Here we go again. We got Murray talking to us and he wanted to finish up and give us some solutions, some things we can look forward to. So here's author Murray Holland. Well, Murray, one of the things that I want to get your thoughts on, a couple of weeks ago somebody came out and mentioned, well, we could just make some coins and each coin worth $1 trillion and then we'd have something to back up all the debt. So did you hear about that story and what
do
you
think about it? But the way that their concept was that would work is that the only reason people would invest in those coins is the federal government would agree to buy them back in a year. And that's the same as debt. So it's not really any different than just issuing more debt. And by the way, there are lots of gimmicks that countries have tried. There's exchange controls where they say you can't convert your dollars into any other currency. There's transaction restrictions so you can't take all your money out of the bank at a time. You can only take 10% a month out, things like that. So there are many, many, many tricks that countries play, including Argentina, by the way, is a great case study because they've done it all. Lately, they've just gotten to lying about economics. They tell everybody their GDP is growing at 5% and their inflation's only at 1. When really their inflation's at 30 and their GDP is flat. So you can come up with as many tricks as, but the world's already figured out all these tricks and everybody knows all these tricks. And this is what politicians do. They try and get out of dealing with the pain instead of actually facing it.
Do you think our government, United States government, I know we had an election last year. Some people were looking at the numbers, the unemployment and other numbers. Do you think our numbers are being manipulated and what we're seeing out of our own government?
Yeah, they're being manipulated, but it's not to the extent of countries like Argentina. Mm-hmm. Like, for instance, the unemployment figure changes almost, definitions change almost every year now, new categories, et cetera. And so, clearly, but it's not manipulated to an outright fraud. It's, they may say unemployment, like a 7.8 when it's really, you know, 9. Uh-huh. And it, but it's not, I don't think unemployment is 15, for instance.
Right. Well, now, and one of the things we look at, we go back and talk about the demographics, and I read where even, you know, talk about the unemployment going down, but there's so many people that have left the workforce that we have a smaller workforce now than we did, I think, in 1980, you know, as far as number of people.
Employment's pretty bad, and the environment for investors, and the reason nobody is investing money today is because everything looks bad. I look at business deals all the time, and the risk is not of new businesses, is just not worth putting capital in, and that's what's happened to the country is business guys are looking around at where to put money, and that's what makes bonds and interest rate environment so cheap, is people are not building new companies and not increasing companies because there's not demand for their product, and they don't see a way of making a return on their investment.
Well, now, you've done a good job, Murray, of explaining, you know, this trap we're already in, and you know, if it springs hard on us, you know, and it will eventually, the question I want to ask you and for our listeners, what are the solutions? What can we do right now?
Well, the number one solution is the same thing that basically Germany is forcing the Southern European countries to do right now. And over there, they use the term structural change. And structural change over there means you can't give money away for nothing anymore. You can't have Greece as a prime example. Greece has a retirement age at 50. And so people can work for 30 years and live on a retirement as big as their pay for the next 50 years. Mm, right. Things like that. And so it never would work economically. And so the structural change there is you can't keep the social programs up. And that's pretty much the same situation we're faced with here. Our deficit is not caused by the economy. Our deficit is caused by too much spending on social programs. And, of course, the issue is the Democrats say, well, we want to keep the social programs up and just tax people more. But tax hurts GDP badly, and social spending doesn't help GDP much. And so that is quandary in the political, where the rubber meets the road, is that difference in philosophy of, do you want a socialist country? Or do you want a capitalist country?
And Murray, with that thought right there, we look at the election we just went through. If you got more than half the country that does not pay income taxes, why in the world would somebody that does not pay federal income taxes, why would they worry about the debt if they don't think it's not going to concern them? How do you make them concerned?
Well, you don't. As a matter of fact, that's not the only problem we have. That's clear. They don't care one whit what happens to debt. The other part is that this goes from the limousine liberals through the entire liberal thought, mm-hmm. which has become a very strong factor here in the United States, is the core element of their thought that ties them all together is a dream of a utopian society, and that dream is where everybody gets as much as they want, and the government dispenses all the money and all the profits, and everybody's happy, and everybody gets along. They don't have any plan how to get there other than they know that this world that they live in, the United States, is not that society. So the first step to get to that society is they need to destroy this society. And that is that's the thought process, and that's well-documented now by a lot of psychiatrists who've written on this subject. And it's one of the core tenets of the problems that we face. It's not just that people don't care about the economy, those 50% who are living for free. It's that there's a large group of people in the United States that have that dream.
Well, that utopian dream, do you think that we have a lot of leaders in our our Congress and in our White House administration? Are there people that you would include in that utopian dream society?
Oh, yeah. That's exactly what Obama is and the entire staff that he has there. They dream about creating an environment where everybody's equal, and somehow there's all this money being made by everybody. It gets put into one big pot, and it gets distributed to people. They can come and take as much as they want, and it magically refills next year, and that's their dream. They believe that to their core of their souls.
and they communicate that enough to get elected, what happens? I mean, are we just going to have to go bust and everybody live in a third world country a few years before they realize that that dream is nonsense?
That's what's happened to all the countries almost throughout history, and particularly here in the southern European countries, which all got into trouble. With the exception of Spain, everybody else has gotten into trouble because of social programs, social spending like this. That's what's that whole thought process is precisely what has bankrupted many, many, many countries.
Okay,
and that's where we're headed.
Now you've given us, you talked about changes, structural change, and then getting rid of the utopian society thinkers and doers. Now, what else can we do right now?
Well, that's financially, we have to, if we got our budget actually balanced so that businessmen thought that the United States is going to be around and is a good place to invest money, we would get GDP growth back. From right now, the government's, by the way, all this stimulative spending by the Obama administration has never worked. It didn't work for 10 years after the Great Depression in 1929. So the entire decade of the 30s, we deficit spend at around 5% a year. Right now we're deficit spending at 7%. And it didn't work. The only thing that worked was money supply. When the Federal Reserve finally loosened up money supply, like a quantitative easing, in 1941, did we ever recover? Mm-hmm. Well, all the spending that they think that they're helping the economy, they're not. They've just made things worse by taking a lot of capital out of the market and by creating a financial environment where businessmen are too scared to invest in this country.
And just for our listeners to know, you know, we spent almost $1 trillion in stimulus in Obama's first year. We're still paying a heavy debt interest on that. It increases every year, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And so we now have borrowed $6 trillion in the last 4 years, which, by the way, is more than the rest of the entire history of the United States and 42 presidents. One president has borrowed more than the last 42 presidents in the last 220 years of our existence.
And this mind-boggling. I know we got to come to a conclusion here, and I appreciate you being on the show, Marina, but I did want to say anything else that we can do right now as far as talking to our Congress, our members of Congress and the White House.
Well, I think that the members of the public ought to be sending letters and writing Congress, but I don't have much faith and confidence that they'll do anything. So my advice to everybody is start protecting yourself, because I think that you can just take a look, and in my book I go through exactly what's happened in Greece and Spain and Portugal and Cyprus and how it happens and what happens, and that's what will be happening here, I think, in the next few years.
Well, let me ask you this. You're talking about protecting yourself, and we're hearing all these programs, a lot of different programs, talking about people saying, well, you need to buy gold. You need to invest in gold, and gold never devalues. But now Franklin Roosevelt took everybody's gold away in the Depression. I mean, can the government come in and just say, okay, you got to turn in your gold, we're making it illegal? Is that what happened before, and can that happen again?
Sure, yeah, the government can do that, and they very well might do that. But we have so many other good currencies around the world, gold is not necessarily the right answer. Mm-hmm. I think that gold is a good part of your portfolio, a small part of it. But I think that you need to get out of currencies that are related, where we have a lot of trade, for instance, with Europe. I don't think the euro is a good currency to be in for the long term. But there are many, many other currencies around the world, such as the kroners, the yuan, the Singapore dollar, Brazilian real. India is a great country to be invested in. I think our days are, unless Congress pulls a rabbit out of the hat, which I don't expect, I think our days are very short here, where you can actually get out and make some money before we have a crash.
Well, now, you know, in our country's got the world's reserve currency, the American dollar, and how long will we keep that position? You know, once we lose that position, we don't ever get it back. It's like Humpty Dumpty. It's gone, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the reserve currency was created a lot because of the one of the primary reasons is because of oil purchases out of the Middle East, and now they've gone to a basket of currencies. So they're taking the Chinese renminbi, the euro, and other, they'll do a basket of currencies. They're smarter. They're pretty smart people there, and it's not a whole, totally dependent on us. Now, we're still the primary reserve currency, but we can certainly ruin that very quickly here.
So basically, we are in the trap, and it's already closing in on us because they're already looking at other currencies, aren't they?
Yes, it is.
Well,
yes, it is.
Murray Holland, I'm glad you came on Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, and I want everybody to go to your website and tell us your website again, Murray.
The website is debttrap.org.
Okay, debttrap.org.
Mm-hmm.
I want everybody to go there and look at Murray's book, and it's going to be out very soon, correct?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, thank you so much for being on, and well, we hope to talk with you in the future, and hopefully we'll be talking to a best-selling author because we need this message communicated, and I appreciate what you're doing, Murray.
Thanks, Doc. Thanks a lot.
Well, folks, I think we can sum up Murray saying you better be preparing for yourself. We got to all work for this country, but don't depend on the government or anybody else to take care of a nest egg. You're going to need to diversify, and we don't know where the disaster is going to hit, but you got to take care of yourself and your family. And so that's, I think that's the bottom line of what Murray's trying to tell us, and just try to get this act together and get this nation turned around. And that's what we're doing at Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. And now for this week's Tombstone of the Week Award, it goes to none other than Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. And you can go back and listen to this show, and I just have to play this one more time because we have been cheated. We've been mistreated. And Secretary Hillary Clinton, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, this is a tribute to your failures.
I've been cheated.
What difference at this point does it make? What difference at this point does it make? What difference at this point does it make?
Well, Secretary of State Hillary Clinton, I'm glad you're leaving, and you have failed. Senator Rand Paul told us why you failed. I agree with it. Many Americans agree with it. We want answers. You know the answers. Until you give them, you're a failed leader. A failed leader, and that's why you get this week's Tombstone of the Week Award for not giving all the answers at the hearing last week. I hope you'll write them out, and I hope for the sake of America, we know what happened in real time. You know what happened in real time. The president knows what happens in real time. Back on September 11th, 2012, America needs to know. Forget about the election. It's a done deal now. Tell us the truth. See you next week on Rock Splitting Politics. This is Doc Holliday, and we got a show lined up next week that's going to be some excitement, so stay tuned for next week.
Thanks for joining us today, and remember to listen again next week for another edition of Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics. You can order Ed's new book, Doc Holliday's Rock Splitting Politics, Tea Party versus the Status Quo, by clicking on the book cover right in front of you on the screen. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you again next week.